Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's gray out there, but we don't have much rain showing up right now. I'll show you what it looks like for the rest of the afternoon on Futurecast coming up.
Plus, no charges. The Wake County District Attorney says Raleigh police did not violate the law when they used a taser on Daryl Tyree Williams, which contributed to his death.
And police say a three-year-old boy who has been missing for a week was taken by his father. We're digging for information on where the search stands this afternoon.
Well, we get a short break from the rain this afternoon, but more heavy rain actually could be coming tomorrow and actually cause flooding. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Chris Lovingood.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. Jeff and Renee do have the day off. Meteorologist Elizabeth Garner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the most of the rain will fall. We're clear for now for the most part.
Yeah, it's an unusual sight here. Not to see much rain on the radar. We'll likely see this for a few hours, and then during the evening and overnight, we'll have a few more showers pop up. There is that tiny little bit of rain that popped up north of Hillsborough, kind of moving over there into Person County, but not much rain coming out of these clouds right now. It is gray, though. We take a live look at North Hills right now, and it's a gray and cool day today. Let's follow Futurecast, and you can see everything looks pretty quiet for us right now. We do have the potential for an isolated shower to pop up, even though we're not seeing much of that on the computer model. And then by the evening, a few more showers begin to pop up. Tomorrow's going to be a much different story for us. We'll have a better chance for rain and the potential for some flooding. We're at a medium risk for flooding for tomorrow. But again, today's looking pretty quiet. We'll have just a 30% chance of some rain overnight tonight. Tropical satellite. We're following Tropical Storm Brett right now. This is the 11 o'clock advisory. It's moving west at 14 miles per hour, and it is moving at it has winds at 60 miles per hour. It may bump up to 65 mile per hour winds before it moves across the Leeward Islands. And of course, that will do some potential wind damage as well as produce some heavy rain. But it's moving fairly quickly. It is likely to dissipate here in the Southern Caribbean over the weekend. And you can see the computer model plots are looking pretty much the same in terms of pulling it in that direction. A couple of them want to swing it northward. And that is a pattern change that's coming, but not soon enough for this system to get pulled to the north. There's one more behind this. And by that point, it may start to get pulled to the north. I'll show you which next system is in line and where it could go coming up.
All right, thank you, Elizabeth. Breaking this noon, Raleigh police officers will not face charges in the death of Daryl Tyree Williams. The Wake County District Attorney issued her report this morning, and in it, Lauren Freeman says the officers did not violate the law and requested the case be closed. Williams was shocked with a police taser outside a sweepstakes parlor in January. Six officers were put on administrative leave following that situation. His cause of death is listed as sudden cardiac arrest, and the autopsy also lists cocaine, intoxication, physical exertion, and the use of a taser as factors in his death. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center, and Ken, this comes just hours before a news conference from civil rights attorney Ben Crump.
Yeah, Chris, Crump is scheduled to address the Daryl Williams case in that news conference, as well as another case involving officers in Wallace, North Carolina. That is all supposed to happen around 1 o'clock today out of Duplin County. But let's focus on the Daryl Williams case first. In a three-page report, the district attorney laid out her reasons for not filing charges against the officers. Now, in making the decision, Lauren Freeman says she considered several factors, including the more than 100 times officers were called to that address, as well as Williams's attempt to get away from officers. She also cited that state law in which officers are allowed to use force when taking someone into custody if that person is attempting to elude arrest or might attack officers. Of course, we'll get reaction from Attorney Crump as well as Daryl Williams' mother during that 1 o'clock news conference. Now, the other investigation Crump will talk about involves the death of James Lanier. He was killed by a Wallace police officer in February. This happened outside the Express Mini Mart. Now, in that case, too, the district attorney says the officer was justified in that shooting. Now, just before we came on the air, we heard from Don Blagrove with Emancipate NC. In a statement to WRAL, she says, District Attorney Lauren Freeman has once again failed to protect black people of Wake County by rubber stamping the murder of an unarmed man by the Raleigh Police Department. We'll be carrying that news conference at 1 o'clock out of Duplin County live on WRAL.com. We have a crew working this story as well. Look for new reporting starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
All right, Ken, thank you. New at noon, people living in a Fayetteville neighborhood are sharing their concerns hours after police say a man kidnapped his three-year-old son from the area. An Amber Alert is out for Robert Parker Jr., who was allegedly taken from a home on Ireland Drive overnight. WRL's Keenan Willard is live in Fayetteville with an update on this frantic search. Keenan.
People in this community concerned today with this news from Fayetteville police that a three-year-old allegedly abducted by his father, who already has this outstanding domestic violence protection order against him. We've been out in this Ireland Drive area talking to neighbors about how they feel and what they've heard from police.
And it looks like we're having some issues with his connection here. But police say they are looking for a Chevy Trailblazer. It is blue. It has damage to the front and tinted windows. They do believe it's being driven by Robert Parker Sr., who abducted his three-year-old son overnight. Keenan was saying that the Amber Alert did go out at 8 o'clock this morning. Police say they were called out for the abduction to a neighborhood around 1 o'clock this morning. They say Robert Parker Sr. already has a domestic violence protection order out against him. He is now charged with kidnapping. Some people living in the neighborhood say the situation really leaves them concerned.
A little worrisome because, I mean, I plan on having kids one day and I want to have those kind of neighbors around.
And Fayetteville police are asking anyone with information to call them.
Now to that search for the missing Titanic tour submersible. We expect to get an update from the U.S. Coast Guard in Boston at about 1 o'clock, so roughly about 40, 50 minutes from now. This morning, three vessels arrived to join the search, and one of them is equipped with sonar to detect objects on the seafloor. Brian Schrader is in the WRL newsroom, and Brian, the estimates at last check, there are roughly 24 hours worth of emergency oxygen left.
Time is growing short, Chris. A lot of new developments over the past several hours. We learned overnight that a Canadian air crew detected banging noises underwater. They heard those noises Tuesday in 30-minute intervals and then again 4 hours later. But searchers were not able to locate the vessel, but it did provide a glimmer of hope. Meanwhile, CNN is reporting that at least two former employees of OceanGate expressed safety concerns about the vessel's construction years ago. They had worries about the thickness of the carbon fiber and titanium hull. And I just confirmed that a UNC Wilmington research professor connected with the organization is okay. This is Dr. Steve Ross's page on the OceanGate website. UNC Wilmington officials told me in the past 30 minutes that he is safe, and Ross is deferring all questions about the search to OceanGate and the U.S. Coast Guard. Again, that update from the Coast Guard is coming up at 1 p.m. from Boston, and we are going to stream that live on WRL.com and on the WRL News app. Chris.
Certainly hope all those people are found safely. Thank you, Brian. Today, a decades-long battle for Marines and their families will be back in a Raleigh courtroom. This is about getting compensation for exposure to toxic water at Camp Lejeune. Attorneys will bring Johnny Sanderson's case in front of a federal judge. Sanderson is one of thousands of Marines and their families believed to have been exposed to toxic water at Camp Lejeune. That happened between the 1950s and the 1980s. Last year, they finally received congressional approval to receive compensation for their health issues.
Today, you can share your thoughts on plans to improve the flow of traffic on the always busy Capitol Boulevard. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains that some people who live near this proposed work are worried about the effect it could have on their community.
The first leg of construction will start right here between I-540 Durant and Perry Creek Roads in 2025. But today, the DOT is asking for your input. Capitol Boulevard has up to 65,000 travelers a day, according to NCDOT. They're planning to turn Capitol Boulevard into a freeway between Raleigh and Wake Forest. The 10-mile freeway would be 6 lanes wide with 12-foot shoulders and a concrete median and a 65 miles per hour speed limit. It will also get rid of stoplights and driveways to help ease that bumper-to-bumper traffic. Aaron Moody with NCDOT says community input is important for finalizing their construction plans. Some people who live in the area say their plans would limit their access to Capitol Boulevard.
It is important because these projects begin with the local communities. We want them to end with the local communities. We want them to have the final say-so on what we're presenting to them and be able to incorporate their input and to help steer the kind of the final vision.
Well, if this gets cut off, our neighborhood and others around us are cut off. For our neighborhood, it means that we'll probably have a serious decline in our property values.
Tonight's meeting is scheduled for 4 o'clock at Living Word Family Church in Wake Forest. If you can't make it there tonight, NCDOT is still taking online feedback until July 7th. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
New this noon, the final major release of data on pandemic learning loss suggests the downward trend began years before the health crisis. The math and reading performance of 13-year-olds in the U.S. hit the lowest level in decades. The last time math performance was this low for 13-year-olds was in 1990, and for reading in 2004. The data also shows that achievement declined across lines of race, class, and geography. But in math, Black, Native American, and low-income students experienced the bigger drops.
The Budweiser Clydesdales will be in the Triangle this week. Tonight, they'll be at the Durham Bulls game from 5:30 to 7:30. Tomorrow, they'll be at the North Hills Music Fest starting at 5:30 p.m. And finally, wrapping up their time here Friday, they will be at the Zebulon Mudcats game. During the Friday game, Anheuser-Busch will present the local Folds of Honor chapter with a donation toward the scholarship program.
Coming up, investigators say there was a DNA match at the crime scene of those University of Idaho murders. We're going in-depth this noon hour about what else authorities are saying.
Plus, 4 White Sox fans are injured but alive after a car crashed into them. In just a bit, hear what police are saying about the suspects in this case.
Plus, not everyone is confident the economy is on a positive track. We'll run you through a report on what has American families worried.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back. This noon, you are looking live at a cloudy Fayetteville. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. This morning, there are several new developments in the case of those 4 murdered Idaho college students. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin shares the latest findings from a DNA profile created by the FBI.
New details in the Idaho murders investigation. Prosecutors now revealing a cheek swab taken from suspect Brian Koberger is a statistical match to DNA found at the crime scene. Koberger is charged with stabbing and murdering 4 University of Idaho students last year. The key piece of evidence, a knife sheath next to the bodies of Kaylee Gonsalves and Madison Mogan. Investigators had compared that to familial DNA found on trash outside Koberger's parents' house. But after taking a swab from Koberger himself, prosecutors now say the 2 DNA profiles are a match. After a comparison of the DNA profile of Koberger and the knife sheath DNA, prosecutors writing the same profile is, quote, at least 5.37 octillion times more likely to be seen if the defendant is the source than an unrelated individual.
Police department, search warrant, come to the door.
The night Koberger was arrested at his parents' Pennsylvania home in December, officers in Washington State served a search warrant at his apartment. He was indicted by a grand jury last month. He chose to stand silent at his arraignment, prompting the judge to enter not guilty pleas on his behalf. The indictment charging Koberger with 4 counts of murder in the first degree for the killing of Ethan Chapin, Zanna Kernodle, Gonsalves, and Mogan in their shared home.
The family wants to move along. They want to get a conviction and move past this as much as you can move past a case like this.
Koberger will face trial set for October 2nd of this year.
And that was Aaron McLaughlin reporting. Meanwhile, we're also learning more about another Idaho murder case. This one involves a man charged with killing his 4 neighbors. Major John Kaler is being held without bond on 4 counts of first-degree murder. Court records say that 4 days before Kaler shot and killed the neighbors, one of them reportedly exposed himself to the suspect's wife and daughter. According to the documents, following the shootings, he told his wife he did what he had to do to protect them.
Charges are pending against a driver who crashed into a crowd of pedestrians. This happened outside the stadium where the Chicago White Sox game was about to begin. Police say the vehicle struck 2 women and 2 men. One person held onto the hood of the car as it drove onto a nearby expressway. That person was seriously injured. The driver crashed and has since been taken into police custody at the hospital. And police are searching for 3 teenagers who tried to light dynamite inside a Philadelphia grocery store. Police say a security guard reported three teenagers wearing black clothing were the ones who tried to light that dynamite. The bomb squad responded to the store and recovered the explosive. The thing is, though, no one was reported injured.
An investigation is underway at Boston Public Schools after a 32-year-old woman posed as a student to attend three different high schools. The Department of Children and Families confirms that she was a social worker for them from 2016 on and off until February of this year. The school district says a Boston Public School staff member noticed irregularities in the paperwork on file and reported it to district leadership, who then contacted Boston police. Parents in the district have questions.
I think it's very dangerous, especially for students, because you don't know why that person will pretend to be a student when they're already an adult.
The woman was caught on June 14th. However, parents were not notified until nearly a week later. A judge ordered her to stay away from school properties. Well, this is not the first time this year that an adult has been accused of posing as a high school student. Just last week, we told you about a 28-year-old woman deputies say posed as a student at a Louisiana high school. Authorities say the woman used a fake ID, passport, and birth certificate to trick the school into admitting her. She and her mother were both charged with forging public records.
Folks, if you have a middle schooler who loves math and science, we want to meet them. North Carolina STEM Explorers, a children's program airing on WREL this fall, is once again looking for kid hosts. Auditions happen here on the WREL Studios campus. That's between 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday. For more on the audition process or how to submit a video online, you can visit campproductionsnc.com.
Talented, smart children out there. There's probably so many applications.
Someone's going to show up, and they are going to be the person that we're looking for.
I think so.
Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner right now tracking. We were tracking rain earlier today, but some of that seems like it's moved out already.
Yeah, things are looking nice and quiet on Dual Doppler 5000 radar. And we talked about that during our morning newscast, that most likely by lunchtime we would be finished with the rain, at least for a little while. We'll zoom in. We had a little bit of light shower activity kind of beginning to fire up again a little bit near the Virginia line. So I can't promise you that it will be completely dry during the afternoon, but so much drier than we were yesterday, that's for sure. Here's 2 o'clock, and you can see a little isolated shower that pops up, especially up near the Virginia line. But for the most part, we're looking fairly dry. If you had something that you needed or wanted to do outside this afternoon, that would be a good time to do it, because we're going to move back into a wetter period as we get into the evening. You see at 9 o'clock some showers that start to drift back into the area. And here's 11 o'clock, and of course, we're looking at tomorrow also bringing us a good chance for rain, and that will bump up our chances for flooding as well. We're not going to be as wet this weekend. We're still looking at a 50% chance of rain on Friday, and then on Saturday and Sunday, we bump it down to 30%. What's likely to happen over the weekend is we'll see some sunshine that's going to warm up our temperatures to nearly 90. It'll still be a bit muggy out there, and that will trigger some afternoon and evening thunderstorms, but it'll feel very different than what we're seeing right now. Take a look here as we look across Lake Gaston. We do have a few showers that are falling here right now on up into Virginia, and it does not look like a very pleasant day out on the lake. Our temperature around the Triangle area is still just 70 degrees. We're forecasting 75, 76, so we still have at least 5 more degrees to go before we reach that. Our dew point sitting at 65. And today, yes, is the first day of summer, but it doesn't look like any summer events would be fun outside today. It is the longest day of the year and a day that folks typically like to celebrate. Where should we be this time of year? Well, our normal high is 88 on June 15th, and today's high is the normal is 89. By July 1st, the normal is 90. July 15th, 91. August 1st, 90. And then 89 on August 15th. And of course, that's the middle. Now, that's the center point. You know, it fluctuates above and below that through the summer, but typically not a whole lot. But we do settle into a very hot summer around here usually. 89 is our normal high, so these 70s are well below that. But then we jump back into it Saturday and Sunday as we see a little bit more sunshine. Here's a look at our tropical update. Of course, we are following Tropical Storm Brett. This is our 11 o'clock advisory. It's 470 miles east of Barbados over here, moving west at 14 miles per hour, 60 mile per hour winds. So no change since our earlier morning advisory. It does look like it moves into the Southern Caribbean and fizzles out over the weekend. And you can see the computer models, for the most part, are clustered here in the Southern Caribbean. A couple of them begin to swing things to the north. That's not likely to happen with this system, but the next one in line, which is this one right right here has a 70 to 80% chance of developing. Cindy is our next name. And watch the computer model plots with this one. Watch it heads toward the Leeward Islands and then begins to swing northward. What will develop over the next couple of weeks, or the next week or so, is a pattern that will start to pull these systems back up to the north. So that storm may take a completely different track. As we get into the weekend and early next week, it is definitely going to feel more like summer with some hotter temperatures and that chance for some thunderstorms. But of course, we're still looking at some heavy rain Thursday and Friday. I'll show you what our flooding potential is coming up.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Service members are having their bank accounts completely wiped out by scammers. And in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars have been stolen in a matter of days. Tonight at 6, 5 on Your Side's Keely Arthur explains the growing problem.
And tonight at 5:30, a new partnership between Duke Health and Duke Technical Community College hopes to solve the nursing shortage hitting hospitals across our area. Monica Casey walks us through how. And next at noon, Amazon Prime Days are back, when you can expect to find those online savings and deals.
Plus, charitable donations are seeing a steady decline in the U.S. We'll share those record figures in just a bit.
Our new news continues here in the WRAL Live Center. The Federal Trade Commission suing Amazon today. The FTC accusing the retail giant of illegally inducing customers to sign up for its Prime service and then hindering them from canceling the subscription. Now, the lawsuit contends Amazon used design tactics on its website known as dark patterns to nudge people into subscribing to Prime. When customers wanted to cancel, they were forced to go through a complicated and confusing process. So far, no comment from Amazon on this lawsuit.
All right, thank you, Ken. No address, no problem. Domino's will now let you order from just about anywhere. And student loan payments are set to resume. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
The pandemic pause on student loan payments is officially coming to an end. The U.S. Department of Education says payments will resume in October, and interest on the loans will start accumulating beginning September 1st. Just how much a borrower owes is expected to be decided this month when the Supreme Court rules on President Biden's plan to cancel some of the debt. Student loan payments were initially paused in March of 2020 when the pandemic hit. Amazon's Prime Day is coming back next month. The two-day sales blowout will take place July 11th and 12th this year. Amazon started the event back in 2015. Last year, it says Prime members bought more than 300 million items over the 2 days. Amazon tends to roll out the deals about a week before the actual date, so look for savings early, and you'll need to have a Prime membership to take advantage of the deals. You no longer need an address to get a Domino's delivery. The pizza chain is launching a service called Pinpoint Delivery. It lets you order simply by dropping a pin on a map. So you can receive a Domino's order whether you're at a park, a beach, or ball field. You can track the order and you'll be notified when you have a few minutes to meet the driver at the designated pickup spot. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Be curious to know how delivery drivers feel about that. A new report shows Americans were a little less charitable than normal. A study by Giving USA says Americans gave a little more than $499 billion in 2022. That's down roughly $25 million compared to the year before. It's the fourth time in 40 years charitable giving decreased. The foundation says the results reflected tough economic conditions toward the end of last year.
Wisk Aero is taking its taxis to the skies. The Boeing subsidiary's debuted its sixth generation air taxi at the Paris Air Show. Look at this. It's an all-electric and autonomous engine with 15 minutes of charge time and a range of 90 miles. The Wisk Generation 6 can hold up to 4 passengers with luggage, and the FAA will determine the timeline for the air taxi to receive certification. Customers can expect to book a ride within the decade.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
Exactly 1 week after the central bank paused rate hikes, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell testified before Congress. What he had to say to lawmakers, we'll bring that after the break.
Also, Uvalde students received a national award for their actions during a mass shooting at their school last year. Why the organization felt it was important to recognize them. And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Americans are still not confident the economy is out of the woods. More people are spending their dollars at dollar stores, while a new report declares what passes as an average household income may not be enough to live comfortably anymore. Madeline Rivera reports from Capitol Hill.
Prices are coming down and the Federal Reserve just hit pause on interest rate hikes. But Americans are still feeling the pinch.
Gas, groceries, cleaner, name something has went up in price.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is on Capitol Hill taking questions from lawmakers. Powell says it's way too soon to declare victory, with inflation still above the Fed's 2% target.
My colleagues and I understand the hardship that high inflation is causing.
Households and businesses are also struggling with tight budgets and credit. Many are flocking to bargain retailers like dollar stores, searching for savings. Discount supermarket Aldi's says it saw more middle and high income shoppers last year. And according to one recent survey, Americans making six figures are now 15% more likely to shop at dollar stores compared to last year.
Why, just because you make a lot of money, do you have to go spend the highest prices on everything? It's prioritizing your spending.
Another poll shows Americans say their families need at least $85,000 a year to get by comfortably, much more than the median household income of $71,000. And more pain could be on the way, with economic experts predicting the Fed could raise interest rates again.
We think maybe one hike will be it for the rest of the year. It really depends on how the inflation data comes in. If it keeps coming in a little bit softer, I think the doves will have some say, and it's possible we could get another pause.
That was Madeline Rivera reporting. Powell will return to the Hill tomorrow to take questions from senators.
Firefighters in Durham will be getting pay raises. Last night, the city council approved a budget that includes a 7% pay increase for all sworn in city employees. It also includes a $300 end of year bonus. Some council members share their concerns over the budget not including tax increases to help pay for the raises. First responders have been pushing for the raise for months, saying it is hard to make ends meet with their current salaries. In Raleigh's first and only social district, it is getting bigger. Tuesday afternoon, City Council approved expanding the Sip and Stroll downtown district. That includes the area surrounding Nash Square, Raleigh Union Station, and the Warehouse District. You'll also be able to grab a to-go drink from participating bars and restaurants. That starts an hour earlier at 10 a.m. every day, and that's for the brunch crowd. These changes go into effect August 15th.
Our historic buildings will be lost. Our history will be lost.
I want to get you a little new insight today about the emotional vote inside Raleigh City Council last night. It paves the way for Shaw University, the oldest HBCU in the South, to redevelop its downtown campus. The university may see towers up to 30 stories tall in the years to come. It took months of tense debate in council meetings, including last night. The approved rezoning comes with some new conditions that Shaw added in the last week. It'll limit the height of any new buildings near several historic halls to five stories. It'll also require student housing be a part of the first three new buildings.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Sampson and Wayne counties. There's a new school superintendent in Sampson County. The Board of Education hired Jamie King, who has more than 20 years of experience working in public education. King comes from Guilford County Schools, where he was a regional superintendent. And tens of thousands of dollars are going to Wayne County's public library. The library's Creative Aging Project is receiving about $45,000 from the federal government. The program is designed to promote learning for people 55 and older, and the library will use the money to provide training and coaching to staff.
In Texas, a moving ceremony to honor young heroes who dial 911 in moments of crisis. David Goins shares this year's recognition, including students from Robb Elementary School in Uvalde.
We're here to recognize some incredible 911 heroes.
Being able to shine a light on the youngest of heroes is something NFL Hall of Famer and Dallas native Tim Brown is happy to do, serving now as chairman for 911 for Kids, the national organization that works to make sure children know how and when to use 911. Monday marked perhaps the most difficult of honors.
Three children exhibited extraordinary bravery under the absolute worst of circumstances.
Those three children, all students from Robb Elementary in Uvalde, each of them new to call 911 to try and get help for themselves, classmates, and teachers inside their fourth grade classroom. Mia Cirillo was one of the students who used her teacher's cell phone to call for help. Chloe Torres did too. Her best friend, Amarijo Garza, tried to call 911, but was one of 19 students who died that day. On Monday, 911 for Kids recognized Mia and Chloe, who stood side by side at the ceremony in Grapevine, letting them know that those children did everything right on that horrific day 13 months ago.
We're proud of her, what she did. That's all we, and that she's here with us still. That's all we're glad for and thankful for every day.
Amarijo Garza's mother accepted the recognition on behalf of her little girl as a 911 youth hero.
Recognizing Amory and what she did, we really wish that she was here today.
So. Amory's father adding, even in her death, hopeful that her story and her classmates' bravery to call 911 is one that other kids will know too.
It really gets them to, you know, just learn education about calling 911 or what to do in a serious situation. Because it could save somebody's life one day.
That was David Goins reporting. The National Emergency Number Association, which focuses on 911 policy throughout the U.S., presented that recognition.
Coming up, changing the rules, what the NCAA is considering dropping from its list of banned drugs.
And now summer is in full swing, which means time off. But too much time off, well, that could be boring. How to keep your kids busy and fulfilled, we'll talk all about it.
And this just into the WREL Live Center. Take a look at this picture right here. This man, 20-year-old Jeremy Pittman, is now in custody, accused in an assault on the Greenway near Lake Wheeler. Pittman is charged with assault by strangulation and second-degree kidnapping. Now, when this incident happened back in April, the WREL Breaking News tracker was on the scene. It was April 22nd, to be precise. It happened around 9:30 in the morning. The person who reported the assault gave officers a detailed description, which eventually led them to Pittman. Now, NC State Police and Raleigh Police officers are working on what they're calling this ongoing investigation.
All right, Ken, thank you. The NCAA is considering dropping cannabis from its list of banned drugs and testing for athletes. A committee says there is a consensus opinion that cannabis is not a performance-enhancing drug. It recommends testing should be limited to drugs that are known to enhance performance. The committee is asking the NCAA to pause cannabis testing at championship events while the policy change is considered. All three divisions need to approve a rule change. A final decision by the organization is expected this fall. And the makers of the popular weight loss drug Ozempic is taking legal action against some companies that are offering a copycat version of the medicine. Novo Nordisk is suing medical spas, weight loss clinics, and compounding pharmacies for selling the non-FDA-approved product that claims to have the active ingredient in Ozempic. The FDA issued a warning last month saying it had received reports of bad reactions in people who used the compounded versions.
Okay, now that children are out of school for the summer, lots of children complain that they're bored. During the pandemic, children spent a lot of time on screens, and some of those habits, well, they carried over. Pediatricians say it's important for children to get outside and be active. It's not only great for their health, but it also helps with socialization. One doctor says parents can be on the lookout for free activities, and remember that reading is a great option, too.
Reading is always great, and it's nice because you can kind of mix two things in. You can maybe take a walk to the library to get your books and walk back home. So you're getting exercise, you're getting your books at the same time. And I always stress to kids that the nice thing about reading in the summer, one of the nice things, is that you don't have to read an assigned book.
Plus, your public library may appreciate you stopping by. It's also important for parents to be good role models and get off their screens and outside with their kids instead of just sending them to play on their own.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team announced this morning they will be competing in the upcoming World Cup. And the NC Courage well represented on this team. Among them are two UNC alums, Emily Fox and Crystal Dunn, as well as goalkeeper Casey Murphy, all named to the U.S. Women's National Team. They will be competing in this year's FIFA Women's World Cup that begins July 20th in Australia and New Zealand. You can see all the action of the FIFA Women's World Cup on our sister station, Fox 50.
On my very first NC Courage game this past weekend, very talented women on that team. Producer and entertainer Pharrell Williams branched out into the world of fashion. We'll show you the huge show he held in Paris that has social media buzzing.
Plus, it pays to do the right thing. Coming up, a boy finds a ring on Father's Day and returns it to its rightful owner. Mega producer Ryan Murphy is ditching Netflix for The House of Mouse. Murphy is the mind behind hit shows such as Dahmer, American Horror Story, and American Crime Story. According to published reports, Murphy will reunite with Disney's new co-chair Dana Walden. The pair previously worked together at 20th Century Fox TV. He left 20th Century Fox in 2018 for a reported $300 million deal at Netflix, which expires at the end of the month.
Dr. Dre will receive the first ever Hip Hop Icon Award from the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. The seven-time Grammy winner will be honored tomorrow for his groundbreaking work that changed the culture around hip hop. Dre has produced big hits for Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, and Kendrick Lamar, just to name a few. In 2010, he received ASCAP's Founders Award.
The Louis Vuitton Menswear Spring Summer 2024 show kicked off in Paris, and it was a show like no other. This is it, and you know that man. This was the first collection from musician, producer, turned fashion designer Pharrell Williams. The gospel group Voices of Fire was directed by Bishop Ezekiel Williams. And let's not forget about the star-studded celebrity guests, which included Beyonce, Jay-Z, Zendaya, Naomi Campbell, and Rihanna. I mean, look at that. It's just, it's amazing.
Some very extravagant outfits there. Maybe when you were out this morning, you were strutting your stuff in a raincoat, possibly. Not going to need that this afternoon, though. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner's been tracking the rain that was in our area, but it's looking clear right now, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we're dry right now. We're going to see cloud cover for the rest of the day today. That's what we're seeing in Goldsboro. It looks like it's still on the damp side there in Goldsboro, but it's definitely dried out here on the streets in Apex and in Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill's courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant and, of course, Fayetteville. Earlier today, the sidewalks were wet, and you can see that the sidewalk is dry now in Fayetteville in front of our Fayetteville newsroom. Let's take a look at the radar. We don't technically have much rain falling right now. There's a little bit up north toward the Virginia line, but meteorologist Mike Mays walked in the building just a few minutes ago, and he said there was a little bit of drizzle out there as he was coming in. So be on the lookout for that. You can see some of it here up across Henderson over toward Oxford, Roxborough. So we're not going to be completely dry this afternoon, but the potential for rain is much, much lower than it was yesterday. Here's a look at our 24-hour rainfall. So starting at around noon yesterday to noon today, you know, we haven't had a ton of rain this morning, so our numbers are down a little bit compared to yesterday, but from Durham to Wake Forest, 2 to 3 inches. North of Chapel Hill and parts of Orange County, it's been about an inch and a quarter. We had a patch here not too far from Jordan Lake that's been almost 2 inches. Parts of Wake County, anywhere from a trace to an inch and a half. Just northeast of Smithfield, it's been almost 2 inches. And we had some heavier rainfall totals down to the south, too. Around Hope Mills, about an inch and a half. North of Fayetteville, almost 2 inches. Almost 3 inches in a few parts here, sort of in the middle of Sampson County, and then again up toward Goldsboro and Benson, we've had 2 to maybe even an isolated area with 5 inches. We had some dry air that's been working its way across our area at this point, and that's going to be here for a bit, but we'll continue to see our low rotating more moisture in, and even though it looks on the drier side for us for a few hours, by the evening we may see a few more isolated showers, and then into the day tomorrow that rain is back on. By 9 o'clock we're seeing some scattered showers and maybe even some isolated thunderstorms. And then watch what happens here at noon. This looks like a line that's starting to develop here from Clinton up toward Raleigh. Now watch how it lifts up across our area. Very suspicious looking band. Not that it's going to play out exactly like that, but a band like that would have the potential possibly to produce some wind damage. So I'm going to kind of keep our eye on what's happening for us during the afternoon and evening tomorrow. Right now we don't have a lot of thunderstorms in the forecast or any level one severe threat. So, but we'll keep watching it because definitely we're going to have a better chance for rain than what we're seeing right now. Well, jump on out. Our flooding risk today is low. For tomorrow, almost the entire state is in that medium flooding risk. So some of that rain's definitely going to be heavy. Between now and Friday evening, we could add another inch and a half, 2 inches, depending on where you are. So we definitely have that potential for some flooding. We're looking at a cool day today. 76 for the high, 78 tomorrow. Of course, today is the first day of summer, longest day of the year. We get back to a really summer-like pattern over the weekend. More sunshine warming up our temperatures and a few isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening. That continues well into next week.
I really didn't think I was going to see it ever again. But I'm so glad that they did the right thing.
Oh, love this story. In just a bit, hear about a young boy making an incredible discovery and deciding to do the right thing.
And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning Mega Millions numbers. Good luck. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines that we are following today. Raleigh police officers will not face charges in the death of Daryl Tyree Williams. The Wake County District Attorney issued her report this morning. Williams was shocked with a police taser outside a sweepstakes parlor in January. His cause of death is listed as sudden cardiac arrest. The autopsy also lists cocaine intoxication, physical exertion, and the use of a taser as factors in his death.
An Amber Alert is out for 3-year-old Robert Parker Jr., who was reportedly taken from a home on Ireland Drive in Fayetteville. Authorities believe the toddler was taken by his father, Robert Parker Sr. Police say that they are looking for a blue Chevy Trailblazer truck with damage to the front and tinted windows.
Today, a decades-long battle for Marines and their families will be back in a Raleigh courtroom. This is about getting compensation for exposure to toxic water at Camp Lejeune. Attorneys will bring Johnny Sanderson's case in front of a federal judge. Sanderson is one of thousands of Marines and their families believed to have been exposed to toxic water at Camp Lejeune.
The school semester is over, and Grubhub is revealing the top dining trends among college students. The company partners with 270 campuses across the nation, and it tallied up the hottest takeout orders by college students for the 2022-2023 school year. Burritos were the number one item ordered nationwide, followed by cheeseburgers and chicken quesadillas. Little surprise I didn't see sushi on that, especially you're near NC State's campus, you know, Sushi 9 right down the street. And while we're talking about food delivery, Domino's has a new method to deliver your pizza directly to you no matter where you are. All you need to do is drop a pin of your location in Google Maps in the Domino's app to get your order. You'll be able to track the driver's locations and get text updates about your order. Then just meet the driver wherever the app determines is the best spot for them to pull over. You'll also only have 4 minutes to meet them, so you have to make sure your instructions are detailed.
Tell them exactly where you are. Well, a man who has worked at Minute Maid Park in Houston for 23 years is reunited with a ring that he lost on Father's Day. And this was no ordinary ring. It was a World Series ring. The owner, he took it off to wash his hands, but he left it. A little boy found the ring and gave it to his dad on Father's Day. And the dad saw the story online and knew exactly what he had to do.
I'm like, son, we have to give this back. And he's like, Dad, well, that was your Father's Day gift. I said, yeah, but what would Jesus do? And the dad's like, yeah, we got to give it back. And, you know, he's been there for 23 years, and that's something he earned, and it needs to be back to the right owner.
But, Dad, I gave this to you. It's just a ring. The ring commemorates the Astros' 2022 World Series win. And the boy did not go away empty-handed. Munoz gave him a bag of Astros goodies. I mean, such a great kid.
Yeah, that's
doing
good.
The right thing.
Good job.
Yeah.
Our pet of the day is a playful attention seeker cat from Cat Angels, NC. Vivaldi will melt your heart in an instant. The sweet 5-year-old boy was abandoned in a park in Durham, but thanks to a helpful park ranger, he made his way to Cat Angels and has stolen the hearts of everyone he meets. With his kitten-like antics, you are sure to keep you entertained. And if you'd like to meet him, you just file an application on the Cat Angels website and schedule an appointment to come in.
The American Red Cross says it's not getting enough blood donations. Coming up on our news at 4, why the organization worries the number of donations will only continue to go down and how you can help.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL with your next local news update in about 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.